Network proudly presents The Jay Slade Show with your host, CyberGolf.com's own Jay Clemmer, and co-starring a galaxy of the golf and sports world's greatest names as a special guest. Yo, 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 this is your main man, DJ Q, telling you to put your hands together for your friend and mine, Jay Clemmer.
All right, thank you, DJ Q, for starting off this post-Masters show in such style. He is absolutely right. I am Jay Flemma, and you are listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. It is the spiciest, it's the boldest, it's the most flavorful hot sauce out there on the market. It's on every table in the Deep South, and it should be on yours, JB's Best Hot Sauce. When it says JB's, it's the best. All right, welcome everybody. We hope you had as wonderful a Masters week as we all did. And we're going to get this show started right away with one of our normal guests and another Golf News Net writer. Please give a warm post-Masters Jay's Plays welcome to Tony Dear, European correspondent. How are you, Tony?
I'm good. Thank you, Jay. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here as usual, especially after another terrific Masters.
It really was a fascinating tournament this year. We had an awful lot to talk about, not just with the on-the-course victory of Patrick Reed, but there's a lot to discuss in the sociological implications that are playing out between himself and various journalists and his families. So let's get right to it, Tony. First, let's talk about the action. What were your thoughts on a glorious Sunday at the Masters?
Well, where does one start? You know, obviously, before the tournament started, it was the most anticipated that I can ever remember. And it didn't disappoint. I mean, there are one or two players that didn't quite live up to expectations, but really, I mean, look at the leaderboard that was evident the whole week. Reed, Fowler, Spieth, Rahm, Watson, Stenson, McIlroy, Johnson, Mickelson, Woods, Rose, Casey, Fleetwood. I mean, they're all there. They all played a part, and they all, you know, had some airtime at one point or another during the week. So from that standpoint, it was absolutely fantastic. I thought Sunday. Thank goodness for Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, because the Reed McIlroy thing didn't really happen, did it? I think, to be honest, that I'm not sure how big a factor it is, but I think McIlroy had. I just questioned his wording, you know, in trying to get inside Reed's head on Saturday evening in his TV interview. I just didn't buy it at all. I think I'm not saying Reed owns McIlroy or anything of, you know, to that extent, but I just think Reed is a kettle of fish when it comes to this sort of thing. And I just think McIlroy trying to get inside his head was ill-advised and ill-timed.
How much of that, though, was just playing up for the cameras publicly, you know, and how much of that is secretly behind closed doors? The two of them are good pals, and that they knew that he meant nothing by it, and that wasn't going to matter one way or the other. Because it really didn't seem like gamesmanship to me. It seemed more like Rory was tweaking our noses rather than anybody else's.
A couple of things. First of all, I mean, round was completed on Saturday, so he hasn't had a great deal of time to think about what he's saying or what the implications will be. He just came right out and said what was front and center in his mind. I think had he been given another couple of minutes to consider what he was about to say, I'm not sure he would have taken that tack, but you know, I don't I'm not sure. And as for them being pals, I don't think they're pals at all. I think they're respectful, certainly respectful of each other's ability. But I think Rory just read the situation ever so slightly wrong on Saturday evening.
You know, it was a strange comment that he made. But, you know, what do you want him to say? Oh, I'm scared and I'm going to, you know, have no chance tomorrow. No, of course. So I sometimes think that we make up an awful lot of that. But you are right that while it was disappointing that the Rory versus Reed show didn't turn out to be as incendiary as it was at the Ryder Cup, like you said, thank goodness that Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth played as well as we did. You know, I wrote that Reed won the green jacket, but Spieth won the day.
For sure. He was out of it, completely out of it. It wasn't really even considered. I mean, it was going to be Reed and McIlroy, wasn't it, all day Sunday. And I tweeted earlier on Sunday, is the winner going to come from the final group? And I think 66%, or thereabouts said yes, it would. And of course, you know, ultimately it did. He did. But he very nearly didn't. I mean, it was very nearly Spieth, and I'm sure he's going to miss that putt on 18 and 13 for a long time.
Well, the tee shot on 18 was the one that I was the most worried about, because if he did not hit that branch and made birdie instead of bogey, that's a tie with Patrick Reed. And that is the second time in 4 days that he hit that tree. They ought to rename it after him. You know, they lost the Eisenhower tree on 17, but now keep the Spieth tree.
Yeah, that's another conversation, isn't it? That's an architecture conversation, you know, about trees on golf courses and tree removal. And, you know, with Bobby Jones, we're in some very interesting conversations during the week about the architecture of Augusta National and how it's kind of been lost over the decades. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes from Jones was always, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, what is the point of having a tree on a golf course? There's no place for a tree on a golf course. So for that tree to play such an important part in Sunday, I just wonder what Mr. Jones is thinking as he looks down. You know, I'm not convinced he's terribly thrilled about it, to be honest.
Well, you know, I wonder if Mr. Jones is looking down and saying it's time for a 90% ball so we don't have to build further super uber back tees on every hole and turn it into an 8,000-yard golf course. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. On the day Judge Flemma gets to rule on the antitrust lawsuit brought by the club makers against the USGA, on the day the USGA grows apparent, says we've had enough, these are the specifications, don't exceed them, that they would find themselves setting a record for swiftest judicial kick in the ass from me, because no one's in better position to make bifurcated clubs or bifurcated balls than the equipment manufacturers are. So get to it and quit ruining the game of golf for everybody else. But that's neither here right now for our purposes of discussion. I have to say this. I thought that Patrick's final round was mezza-mezza, that he did make some clutch putts, but he also had his loosest ball striking day. Not the kind of ball striking day you expect from a winner of the Masters. And meanwhile, as you said, Spieth was downright surgical and magical up until that final tee shot on 18. But now let's take a closer look at something even more important, which is the social ramifications of Reed's victory and the influence of the print journalists as opposed to the broadcasters. As the telecast was closing, Jim Nantz said, Captain America wins his major. But as I wrote, I sometimes wonder if Reed isn't Captain Ugly America. And in particular, Alan Shipnuck, who's turned down all interviews all across the country, wrote a second excellent article telling everyone that Patrick Reed has essentially disowned his own mother, father, and sister as of 2012 when he married Justine, and even went so far as to have his parents thrown off the golf course at the 2014 U.S. Open. So, first of all, Patrick Reed, hero or villain, Tony?
Jay, that's not the easiest question in the world.
I'm sure my job's not to ask easy questions.
No, fair enough. There's so much we don't know, and, you know, there's so much we're never going to know, and there's so much we shouldn't ever know. And thank goodness, because then it doesn't give us the opportunity to judge, which is, you know, one of, I'm being very philosophical here, Jay, but what our ability to judge others is one of our worst traits. You know, by not having all the information, we're not given that opportunity to do so. That, of course, hasn't stopped many people in going ahead and judging him anyway. We don't know the story, the full story of why his parents and he are estranged. I think it goes well beyond his parents thinking that he was too young to get married. I'm not sure that would create such a horrible situation as they have now. There's more to it. As for hero or villain, I think I'm not going to answer the villain bit because there's a lot of that, you know, I just don't know. I know that Shane Ryan reported it in his excellent book. But you know, some of the quoted might not be 100% trustworthy. I'm not going there. As for hero, yeah, absolutely. Golfing wise, hero, definitely. Yeah, he won the Masters. He beat McIlroy in the Ryder Cup. So yeah, absolutely the golfing hero.
Both Alan Shipnook and I come to the conclusion that he's probably a little of both. it's clear that he's a hero on the golf course. You know, there's the story that he was a hero, that he saved the life of his wife, Justine, when she was having a seizure in the bathtub, which, of course, would be commendable. We hope that those stories are all true. But, you know, I will note that there's a serious question as to one of the stories about Tiger and Earl Woods, where Tiger supposedly claimed that he was beaten up on the playground when he was in kindergarten in a racial incident, and that he told his teacher, and the teacher did nothing, and the teacher vehemently denies it, and went and hired Gloria Allred, and basically Gloria Allred's waiting for the day that Tiger ever says that again so she can hit him with a slander suit or a libel suit. You know, so it's tough to take everything at face value that you hear on stories that you can't verify. But I think that the important thing that what Shipnook has done here is that finally we're getting some transparency in our print media and reporting, because all we're getting from broadcasters is unicorns and Skittles and sunny rainbows. We got that with Tiger Woods. It turned out to be a lie. We got that with Michelle Wee. It turned out to be horribly, horribly wrong. So I think that there's an important service journalistically and socially as to what Shipnook is doing, and that it restores some trust between golf fans and the golf media that, you know, we are not just here to sell PR.
I couldn't agree more. I'm not sure. I think it's as it is, to be honest. I don't blame CBS at all for being unicorns and rainbows. I think it would be very awkward and slightly distasteful, and I don't think it would work at all if during a Masters broadcast CBS were to bring up Reed's past. I'm quite happy for them not to do that. With regards to Shipnook, I think it's brilliant journalism for him to get that story, to pursue it and to get it. And as, you know, for folk who are the ethics of it and just the humanness of it, I guarantee you 100% if he hadn't got that story and if he hadn't dug and gotten what he got, I guarantee you Twitter would be full of, why don't we know anything about Patrick Reed's history? Why don't we know anything about his family and his family situation? So I think it's brilliant journalism. I think it was a great story. It's a sad story. I mean, you know, as a human being, I'm thoroughly disappointed by the whole thing. I really hope for Patrick's sake and his family, that they can have a happy ending to this story, that, you know, that the grandkids can get to see their grandparents and vice versa. And this all has a happy ending, because it's unsavory and it's unpleasant, but it's a story, and that's journalism, and it was brilliantly told by sitting up.
Do you have any thoughts on something that Alan Shipnuck said was downright cold-blooded, which is he asked Patrick at the post-victory press conference, you know, whether Patrick, you know, had any message of any kind at all for his parents, and Patrick said no.
Yeah, that's...
No, essentially, he said, I'm just here to play golf. He didn't even respond to the questions, what he did.
Again, I would say that had Alan not done that, people would have been saying yesterday, today, where was Shipnuck to ask whether, you know, wouldn't it have been great if he'd written this story and then somehow managed to get to the press conference and ask Patrick about it, his response to it. That's what they would be saying. I mean, it would leave a gaping hole. It would leave a, you know, room for people to ask, well, wouldn't it have been great if he followed up with Patrick to see what he thought? He did, and fair play to him, because I think it was brilliant. And I think, you know, a lot of what Alan Shipnuck does is regarded as what's the word? Untimely, or you know, it's there's a word I'm thinking of. It just comes off, you know,
opportunistic, perhaps.
Yeah, opportunistic. But you know, that's great journalism. It's brilliant journalism, and I for one feel much happier having read the story and you know knowing something of the situation than having loads of question marks.
Well, definitely, when it comes to hard work and good articles, Shipnuck won the Masters. However, there are still a U.S. Open, an Open Championship, and a PGA Championship to be played. Yours truly, your comrade in arms at GNN, has got a scoop that he's going to let loose on the show on the second half of our little interview here. So get ready to talk a little bit about Shinnecock and the U.S. Open, and get ready for your trivia question, which, unfortunately, you can't win the prize, but we are going to have the JB's Best Trivia Contest question right after this short break. DJ Q, take it away.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.